in it. And I've always had this kind of thought process, even when meeting like Packer players before I did any of this. They're people, you know? They
Yeah.
just happen to do something of entertainment value or gravity that makes you blow up this proportion or whatever. But at the end of the day, they're a person just like you and I. It's just a lot of people have eyes on them. It's literally the only difference. You know, Shroud's just a guy who's really good at video games.
True.
He just happens to have 50,000 people watch him every single day he clicks start streaming. You know, he's still a super down-to-earth, humble guy. Same thing with all those guys. They can choose to be whoever they want. It's just they used to be professional basketball players, or you know, they host a show on TNT, you know. So at the end of the day, I don't think it's ever intimidating. It's just I either like them more as a person, or they're still this whatever. You know, yeah,
Yeah.
it's super exciting to meet them because of who they are and because they are a celebrity per se. But to be intimidated by that, I don't think I ever will be. I think I'll just appreciate the getting to know or the meeting. Because I mean, you look at it in the other sense. Like I've worked on TBS. I've worked alongside Golden Boy and Richard Lewis's equals. I've worked with Machine, like really prolific people in this
Yeah.
industry, right? And the fact that I can call them friends and I have their phone number, I can just give them a call and be like, "Hey man, like, can you talk for a couple minutes?" is a very rewarding position to be in. But I don't view them as celebrities. I view them as friends, right? By all means, I wish I could revert to as Ernie Johnson as a friend, but obviously a little bit different situation where nobody's in their eyes and rightfully so. I don't think I've ever been intimidated, but definitely appreciative of the circumstance. But I was definitely most impressed by Ernie. Ernie is a legend. He's so good at what he does. Not saying the other guys aren't, but he's the one that has to orchestrate those three buffoons on the desk and try to control them. Not easy to do. Like, those guys are
Yeah.
off the cuff. A lot of fun, though. Really good show.
Definitely. While we're talking about commentators, what's your relationship with your fellow commentators like, and how important is it?
I think something that makes the RLCS what it is, and is very unique compared to other shows is the original six: myself, Wavepunk, James Bot, Gibbs, Leaf, and who am I forgetting? Wait, and Carpet.
Yeah.
All of us were brought in grassroots. All of us came from the community. All of us started at the exact same time with the exact amount of the same experience, all that kind of stuff. So we all became very, very close, like brothers, because I see them more than I see my own family or any of my friends in real life. They are to a T, and not to disclude the other guys. Like Shogun's my guy, you know. Shogun's my homie, and so are the other like rival series guys and stuff. But the original six, I think, will always have a unique bond because we were the first ones to do it, right? Like I would take a bullet for those guys. No questions asked. It is a true family because we've all gone through the same struggles at the exact same time for now 3 years, right? We always used to, I mean, we went from spending every waking minute with each other going over Rocket League and this and that and the production and all that kind of stuff and sharing a hotel room and sharing lunch and dinner. And I mean, when you spend that much time together, it's hard not to build that kind of relationship. So the fact that Golden Boy and Twitch convinced Psyonix to go with grassroots talent and very green talent because we knew the game and they trusted us to know the game and then we could polish our skills as we went, I think makes Rocket League such a unique thing. And a lot of people forget that we're all from the community
Yeah.
because we've been doing it for so long. People don't see us as like, okay, these guys are, you know, from the community. These guys started there, you know, the VVV, the Pulsar Premier League, the Rocket League Central kind of guys. It's like that's where we all came from, you know. We started Rocket League just like everybody else. We boot up the game and we just happened to be in the right place at the right time, you know, after putting in lots of work. But the relationship that the commentary team has is like a family. It really is.
That's
I mean,
really.
I talk to Kevin's parents on a regular basis, Same thing with Leaf's dad. Like, it's truly like a family. They all know my mom is mom. Like, it's crazy, man. It really is. Some of the best people I know.
Yeah, you can tell when you watch. Like, it's easy to tell that you guys all
There's
like each other.
a long going rapport that is definitely more than a rapport. It's now a friendship or a relationship, family side. Yeah.
Yeah,
Makes a big difference for the broadcast.
absolutely. Let's talk about the future of Rocket League. Where do you think that the sport is going?
That's a tough one, man. I'm reserved at some points, just because of some of the things I know and some of the things I've seen. But I'm also very optimistic about it, like biased optimism.
Yeah.
Because I think all of us that have played the game, and I don't know how much you play yourself or anything, but I think we all know the potential that Rocket League has as an esport. I think it's the perfect mix between both worlds of traditional and non-traditional, to where I think it could be the one game that bridges the gap for mainstream. It's non-violent. It's super accessible. The skill ceiling is unlimited. It's very welcoming. It's kid friendly. There's so many factors that come into where not only is it the most watched sport in the world, but it also is a video game, right?
Yeah.
Like it's the best of both. It blends it. It's super fast paced. There's always exciting moments. Like the game really hits its stride. The difficulty is Cyanox does not have the level of funding that a Fortnite or League of Legends or whatever has, because it takes years to develop that.
Yeah.
Unless you're Fortnite and you strike gold, right?
Yeah.
So the difficulty is you want to implement all these things, and there's things that we want to do, but there has to be some sort of overthought as to why they, right? There's a lot of decisions that we wish would be made that haven't happened yet, and we don't know why, rev share being one of them. To me, I don't think there's any reason why there shouldn't be a way for these organizations to make money back. Why it's not implemented yet, I do not know. I don't know if it's because of lack of workforce or if there's something at higher ups that we don't know. Like, we just don't know.
Yeah.
But I think we all agree that it needs to be there, and that we think the format needs to change. And there's so many things that we want to have happen that just haven't happened. I've said this numerous times over the past probably 6 months. 2019 is make or break for Rocket League. I think we're at that point. We're going into our fourth year soon. That we've gotten the baseline met. We have a great foundation of community. Pros are here to stay. Organizations are interested. There's plenty of tournaments. There could be more, but there's plenty of tournaments. It's a striving game, right? Like the competition is thriving. There's people that want to compete. That's all instilled. It's good. But now we need to take it to that next level, right? We need to find a way to branch the gap between tier two viewership and tier one. Like, we're really here to punch you in the face and say, like, pay attention to us because we're not going anywhere, kind of thing, right? A lot of people still overlook Rocket League. And I think there's a couple factors that are coming that might push it that way. First and foremost, we're only halfway through January, a little over halfway, and we have five $100,000 tournaments announced.
Yeah.
Four through the pro circuit and one through WSOE, which is literally in, 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a new organization. It's not an old one. E-League still continues to stay involved. That's cool. I assume we'll see another Universal Open 2v2.
Yeah.
So that's two mainstream television stations, which is great. I think this year, if the free-to-play version comes out in China, I think that'll open up Cyanox to making the rest of the game free-to-play, even though it's still a top seller in Steam. I don't care if it's a top seller in Steam. I don't care if we sell individual copies of the game. Their own money is to be made through your keys and crate system. We all know that. And the fact that if you get people to play the game, they'll fall in love with it. It's the same thing happened on PlayStation. It's the same thing that happened for the rest of us. If you get people to sit down and play the game for 5 minutes, they will fall in love with it. And that's hard to do when I say, hey, Steve, whatever your name is, come check out Rocket League. It's super fun. Play it.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, how much is it? And I have to say free. $20.
Yeah.
It's going to hinder them a little bit. I don't think they're going to trust my opinion that way. But if I say, hey, it's free, it doesn't hurt you at all, just download it and play it. Well, now they're going to want the new cars. They're going to want to spend money on DLCs. They're going to want cosmetic items because they got to play catch up, right?
Yeah.
And now they can follow the esport. And like all this other stuff will basically make that cost up. You're taking a $20 hit initially, but the accessibility, and you see the success of stuff like Fortnite in a kid-friendly game. Like, why on earth are people paying for this game? So I really hope when it comes out in the Asian scene and the Chinese scene and stuff like that, it opens up the eyes of the guys that are in the control of the American and European versions and all that kind of stuff. And are like, we really should make this game free to play again because it gave us $4 million for PlayStation. Look what it's doing in China. It's all microtransaction heavy. So I think that'll help a lot.
Yeah.
I think RevShare will help with the tier one orgs coming in, your phases, your optics, your, you know, whatever. I think that makes a huge difference, because that also helps and carries over to sponsorship and logistical side and fan bases that come through. Like TSM signing is a big deal.
Yeah.
Like a really big deal. Cloud9 was huge, but having TSM as well, I think tells a lot about where we're headed. My only discretion is, what does Psyonix want to do with it? And it is entirely in their hands. That worries me to an extent, but it also excites me. So they're very calculated in their decisions. I just hope they make them sooner than later.
Yeah.
So 2019, make or break for Rocket League. We'll find out what happens. So far, so good, man. We're going to be entering the first month, and we've got $100,000 on the line in Vegas at a really kick-ass venue. So
yeah,
should be cool.
It's interesting because, like, I found out about the game because it was free on PS4 for however long it was, and that's just, like, I know so many people that was the case, you know. It's like, you have PlayStation Plus, we'll get it on for free on PS4, and then
right.
it moves on from there. And it seemed at the end of last year, people were kind of spooked because Weedem Girls wasn't getting signed. It was like, this is a really good team doing really well. What's the deal? Why didn't they get picked up? And now that Team Solomid came out of nowhere and just really changed that.
Team Solomid has actually been involved or thinking about picking up a team since season one.
Really?
And a lot of people don't know that. They have been interested because they see the potential. I can tell you right now, every esports org has an eye on Rocket League. They all see the potential just for purely business purposes. They know what it could do. It could branch the gap. It could, you know, the potential of what Rocket League brings is monumental. God, stop moving, Mike. It's just gravity. It's fine. So they all see the potential for what Rocket League could become. They know what it could become. That's not an issue. It's just, you look at a team like Optic Gaming. It's the green wall, man. Like, they don't need publicity or exposure. They need to make money.
Yep.
And if they're going to pay kids thousands of dollars a month to play, like, they got to find a way to get a return on that investment. Usually it's through sponsors, but RevShare helps. RevShare helps a lot. It convinces them and encourages them to be involved. So TSM is one of those teams. They're very calculated in what they do. There's a reason why they're as profitable as they are, right? So for Weedem Girls, I think they, like, shout outs to Remco and the rest of the boys. That is a very tough thing to take care of yourself for that long without any financial stability and a salary. And they did have offers, but super low ball, all that kind of stuff. Like, you don't want to go from Envy and Regress. You don't want to go to a tier two or tier three org. You just don't want to. They know what they're worth and they stuck to it. And that's extremely respectable. And because of that patience and that know-how, they landed one of the biggest orgs in all of esports. So credit to them. TSM was my favorite org when I first started watching esports for the first time.
Yeah.
So a little biased towards their pickup. I'm super happy for them. Ignite is a homie. Remco's an OG. Like, Metsnarz is insane. Like, they deserve nothing but the best, and they got TSM. So super happy for them.
Yeah, and we're happy to see that going forward too, because that puts, once a big organization joins, it's like everybody's on notice, right? I'm gonna do a lightning round with you, just ask you a bunch of quick questions and tell me whatever you want to say in the shortest time as you want. All right, number one, thoughts on Drip A moving to EG?
Super happy that he did it, because I know that relieves a lot of pressure financially from him. It was also making history in Rocket League.
Yeah, first cross transfer. What about KDOP?
I hear there's some issues team dynamics with Dignitas, so I'm not too surprised by the change. I think the Yukio pickup is probably the best they could have gone with. He also gets to play with Fairy Peak. Longest standing duo, the most, what's the word I want to look for? The most successful duo in all of Rocket League. Has never lost a tournament with Fairy Peak at his side in a duo tournament they've competed in. So to me, it's like, what's Scrub Killer's role? How are they going to do it? But a lot of potential for that team. And you saw it through WSOE and DreamHack Qualls.
Yeah, absolutely. Predictions for WSOE this weekend?
TSM.
Okay. What is your most embarrassing moment as a caster?
toss yourself. easily toss yourself.
Please recount the story for those that are uninformed.
So as a commentator, you're very rarely left alone in a role. You always have someone next to you to bail you out if things get weird or awkward. And when we introduced a telestration segment where it was just you and the camera for 10, 15 minutes and you had to break down a play. And that is extremely nerve-wracking for a first-time commentator. Very, very nerve-wracking. So Axel Toss threw it over to me and my words got jumbled. And instead of saying, "Yo, thanks for the toss, Axel Toss," I literally told him to toss himself and then proceeded to move forward. So toss yourself is one of my go-to emotes. I have it on Twitch and people, pros literally subbed to me for the toss yourself emote. That's literally it. Not because of the content or to support me. It's for the emote. So yeah, probably the most embarrassing, but it got the European pros to start talking to me. So shout outs to Mike Rules and Marky Duda and all those other guys.
Okay. What's your best moment as a soccer player?
Winning state.
Is that your high school?
Yep. Okay. Yep. I started left midfield and forward for our varsity team.
Do you have any spectacular goals you can remember? Any cool plays you did?
Redirect cross to my buddy who bicycled it, top right. That was pretty sick. From my shot itself, I was always the setup guy, but I was fast. So I had a breakaway and then had a cut back inside and then hit it bottom right. It was pretty good. That was to bring us into overtime. And then we had PKs and we won it. Nice. That's for a tournament in like some nowhere city in Wisconsin.
Okay, what's your coolest Rocket League moment? Coolest outside of casting, time. Just actually like, playing.
Just playing the game? Yeah. Either faking Fireburner and rooting his career or beating Scrubkill in a 1v1 drop shot match. It's probably the most like prolific. Hitting some flip resets are always super cool. But probably the Fireburner fake, just because the reaction it got. It was Fireburner's most clip until he deleted it. It had like 60,000 views.
Do you still give him crap about that every time you see him?
No, because everybody has their moment. Like, as casters, the pros don't expect anything out of us. They don't expect us to do stuff. Yeah. So, yeah, you line up for 50-50 and all of a sudden I wasn't there. Like, how's he supposed to see that coming?
Okay, who's the pro you have the best relationship with?
That's tough.
Does Oof. It? Or you don't have to say one, but just a few that you have good relationships with.
Very, very close with Garrett. Garrett's like a little brother. Fruity and I have become pretty close over the past couple months. Ignite is a homie. Probably Garrett, though. Garrett, when he came in with Turtle and Moses for Vex and Turbulence and whatever else their names were, Orbit, and they went through like four.
Yeah.
I kind of helped them through a lot of things and was there as more of like a resource, even though the whole like build your brand crap came to be. Garrett has always been like a little brother. Super proud of that kid.
Okay. Who's your favorite caster for in Rocket what League? Sense? Rocket League. Just your favorite one. Just
that I like to listen to, or
I'll let you decide so you don't make any enemies, but who's your favorite?
So working alongside, everybody has their own quirks, things that I like and dislike. So it's hard to pick because each new caster pairing adds a different dynamic, right? I think our most talented caster is probably Shogun, just because he's European and it's not fair. The way that he has a way to reference things and make and slip in analogies and stuff. Shogun's a talented one, and he and I grew a lot together through season 4 and season 5. So. That was when I was under my most criticism, was probably season 2 and season 3. I got a lot of hate from Reddit, which is fine. I suck. I hate it too. It's fine. But Shogun and I grew a lot and bonded a lot season 4 and season 5. So working with him has probably always been special. Leaf's an OG. He's the guy that I started with. And the fact that we're still doing this 3 years later is pretty crazy. Wave is who you want as your gold standard. Like, James has got plenty of energy. He's quirky as hell too. Like, Kevin's the most easy person to work with that you could, like, every person has their own unique thing, right? Shogun for simply professional reasons, Kevin for just because you never know what's going to happen.
Okay. Yep. Who's the best player among the casters?
James, maybe Shogun, because Shogun, obviously, because he hasn't been casting, has been playing a lot streaming.
Yeah.
So between James and Shogun, I think Shogun is more controlled. James is really hard to read. James's playstyle sucks. It's terrible. I have no idea what he's doing half the time, but he's good. But probably James or Shogun, and then it's myself, and then Gibbs.
Okay. What's your favorite soccer team?
Juventus.
The Juve.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I was a big fan of Pogba because he played the same position I did, and then they just keep picking up new people that I'm like, wait, why is he on this team now? So.
Yeah, his experience at Man U has been something to watch for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, this is not a lightning round question. It'll be the last question I ask you. If you could, let's say that day that you quit your job at that sales position, if you could go back to that day and do it again differently, what would you do?
It just quit right away. I wouldn't even have worked that last day passively. I would have spent all that time preparing more for the weekend. That's probably what I would have done. Because we flew out on a Wednesday, and I worked there on a Sunday. I wish I would have, instead of being at that job one extra day, I would have spent it preparing for the upcoming and trying to take that time to reach out to, like, the Gibbs and James and all that kind of stuff. Because I was nervous beyond belief. And an extra day would have just been even better. But quitting, all that kind of stuff, just getting into it as quickly as possible, zero regrets about how I did it. Just knowing that immediately, like, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, I'm going to do it. I obviously stayed an extra day with the company.